This coming and going, Sesshin, has been quite an experience so far. I'm expecting that we'll continue to have experiences until our so-called end, and then I'm hoping that we continue to have experiences after that too. I'm realizing that, you know, how the mind works. This is the last talk I'm going to give at the coming and going Sesshin. So no pressure on me. And I've been keeping track of all the different texts we've used from the New Sutra book, and we haven't used them all up. A little bit like the Dharma. Can't be used up, this 90-page sutra book. How wonderful. And, of course, every piece can be talked about endlessly. I have a lot to talk about tonight about the piece that we call Body and Mind, Ocean and Waves, which is part of a text by Keizan Jokin, our wonderful Soto ancestor. It's from an introduction to Zen practice that he wrote called the Zazen Yojinki, which literally means notes on what to be aware of in Zazen. And we've excerpted a few pieces from this longer, not too long text. And we've had some talks on a couple of them. And we took out some of the things like always make sure to wear your raksu, but not in the morning or the evening, and little details like that. Instead, we've kept the teachings of Keizan that point directly to what's actually going on in our Zazen practice. So I'll just read it over. Keizan says, just mind, just body. Difference and sameness miss the point. Body arises in mind. And when the body arises, body and mind appear to be distinguished. When one wave arises, 1,000 waves follow. The moment a single mental fabrication arises, numberless things appear. The mind is like the ocean waters, the body like the waves. There are no waves without water, and no water without waves. Water and waves are not separate. Motion and stillness are not different. So it is said, a person comes and goes, lives and dies as the imperishable body of the four elements and five aggregates. Zazen is going right into the ocean of awareness, manifesting the body of all Buddhas. The natural luminosity of mind suddenly reveals itself, and the original light is everywhere. It is not a matter of extinction or of activity. There is no increase or decrease in the ocean, and the waves never turn back. So I did a little research, as I like to do, on this piece and on Keizan himself. Keizan, the author of The Transmission of the Light, which is one of the texts we use in our own koan practice in Boundless Way Zen. I remember when, before Josh became a teacher, and just as I was beginning to be a teacher, we studied this text together, and we both really loved Keizan right away. His commentaries, his poetry, there are beautiful verses after each koan case in The Transmission of the Light. We felt such a connection to him, and it seemed like he was talking about our modern Boundless Way Zen practice. And you can maybe hear a few elements of that here too in his Zazen Yojinki. And he was the fourth Soto ancestor in Japan, Dogen being the first. He was also someone who really believed that all human beings, no matter what their condition, could enter the Great Way. He was raised by a grandmother who studied with Dogen, a woman who supported Dogen at his temple, Aheji. And then in bringing up little Keizan, he was very inspired by his grandmother's practice, by his grandmother's love of the bodhisattva of compassion. And when he grew up and became a Zen master himself, he founded his own temple called Sojiji. And Eiheiji and Sojiji are the two main Soto temples in Japan right up till this moment. And in fact, we directly derive from the Sojiji line. And if we're ordained as priests, we wear what we've come to discover is an Eiheiji-style okesa, tied like a Sojiji okesa. And if that sort of thing really interests you, I invite you to talk to someone about ordaining as a priest. But one of the things that he did quite a bit was that he promoted women as priests and as teachers. He transmitted to women. He was someone who really lived the truth of non-duality. That is, he saw everything as shining with its own light, everyone, with no distinctions. And yet, of course, distinctions. Men and women, priests and lay people, Buddhists and non-Buddhists. This is true in the world of form and has to be honored. And also, the light shining, as he says here, the natural luminosity of mind suddenly reveals itself, and the original light is everywhere. He's not kidding. He means everywhere. He doesn't mean in some places like Buddhist temples or on high mountains or in beautiful places. He means everywhere. Gas stations and supermarkets and slums and war zones and the White House. Everywhere. Everywhere. The original light is everywhere. But before I get into any of these things, and who knows, maybe I won't even get into them, what I really want to talk to about tonight is broccoli. I had a very interesting experience today with a piece of broccoli that I wanted to share with you, and I believe that it completely reflects what Keisan is trying to say in this text. You can judge for yourself whether that's true or not. I was having one of those days, and I know that some of you have had days like this here at this session, or moments like this, or hours like this. I was living in a bunch of interesting hell realms today. I think the whole variety of hell realms were rising up for me. I was amazed, actually, at what I was capable of experiencing that I would define as hell. They were subtle and different. I was really interested in them on one level, as much as I just wanted them to go away. And at lunch, I was in the middle of the worst hell realm I was in for the whole day, if we're going to judge these sorts of things. Sick to my stomach with grief and despair. I went in and got my food, and I looked in my bowl, and I thought, I have to eat this now. Oh, I just want to go to my room and hide under my covers and weep. But no, we're having meal practice now. So we practice together, and I'm gonna eat my food. And in the middle of barely holding it together, I took a bite of broccoli. And I gotta say, that piece of broccoli was the most perfectly cooked piece of broccoli I ever remember eating. It wasn't too hard, it wasn't undercooked, and it wasn't too mushy. It was perfect. And its taste wasn't disguised by anything else in the food we were eating. It was broccoli in its greatest essence. And the thing that I realized in that moment of broccoliness was that I was still in the hell realm, and at the very same time, I was enjoying the broccoli. How could that be? How could it be that we human beings can open ourselves to everything that life offers, whether we like it or don't like it, even at the same time? I'm not sure that actually the brain works that way. I think there was a little flicker effect going back and forth from grief to broccoli and grief to broccoli and grief to broccoli. But it was so fast that it appeared to be simultaneous. And as Keisan says in this piece, the moment a single mental fabrication arises, numberless things appear. And he's right. A little taste, a mental fabrication that says, this broccoli is really well cooked. And numberless things appear. Everything arising and falling away, everything that we experience as human beings, 8 million, I think it is, bits of information in every moment, and we can only experience 8 of them. Well, 2 of them today were my tears and the broccoli in that moment. How amazing. How amazing, like the rising of the waves, Kaizen says. Like the ocean. And all of these teachers, Kaizen, Dogen, all the other teachers that we quote in this amazing sutra book, the product of years of us teachers getting together and talking about things and discussing things and aligning ourselves. A precious work indeed, and that alignment carries forward into our teaching as individuals and our teaching as partners, as colleagues, as friends, and then we share it with our students, and the sharing goes on and on and on, and wherever you go, you bring this teaching with you, whether you understand it or not. It's alive and living in all of our hearts. We say, and one of my favorite texts in this book, and I debated talking about this tonight, and I think I just will for a moment, is, if I can find it, everything's a little bit different. It's Hakuin's text. The Song of Zazen. One of the things Hakuin, who lived 500 years after Kaizen, says in his Song of Zazen, is that those who try Zazen even once wipe away beginningless crimes. Those who hear this truth even once, Hakuin says, and listen with a grateful heart, treasuring it, revering it, gain blessings without end. Just once. People wander into this temple and they sit and they think it's really cool, and then we never see them again. And then there are you, people, who wander into the temple and stick around. I don't know about you. I don't know about me. But one thing that I do know is that you've tasted something. The taste of Dharma in your mouth. The smell of the Dharma. The smell of the way things are. The feeling of it, the sound of it, the way it looks, all these things, this actual connection and contact with something that can only be pointed to and can't really be described. So all these people in the sutra book pointing, using beautiful language, blunt language, vague, confusing language, direct, simple language, to point to something that has kept us here, kept us coming back again and again and again, to find for ourselves the truth of this moment, the truth of what it means to be a human being, the complicated truth, the difficult truth, the splendid truth of what it means to be a human being who can be weeping and eating broccoli at the same time. How is this possible? And Kaizen inspires us. He says, Zazen is going right into the ocean of awareness, directly into it, manifesting the body of all Buddhas. When we sit in this upright posture, when we sit in the middle of whatever might be arising for us, physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, great insights, visits from bodhisattvas, wonderful experiences, broccoli, we are manifesting the body of all Buddhas. All Buddhas throughout space and time. All Buddhas is us. No difference at all. And yet, can only be manifested in this particular body. So mind and body are not separate, and yet they are separate. We experience them differently. And you and me, not separate, and yet we are separate. We experience the world differently. This is how it is. There's no way to comprehend it just using the intellect alone, but the intellect can be a good friend in directing us towards this truth. So, Keizan says, Zazen is going right into the ocean of awareness, manifesting the body of all Buddhas. The natural luminosity of mind suddenly reveals itself, and the original light is everywhere. There is no increase or decrease in the ocean, and the waves never turn back. Thank you.